And the mitzvah Kufpe Aleph 181, just we really rushed it in last time, which is the ritual impurity of Nida, menstruating woman, which is that we point out that in order to attain the full Tumah of Nida, at least on a Doraisa level, one needs to have what's called a Hargasha, one needs to experience the Nida flow. It's insufficient simply to wake up one day and find a spot on your garments or something like that. And you realize that is probably from the same type of blood as menstrual blood, but on a Doraisa level, at least, that's insufficient to render the woman a full Nida. However, there is a disagreement in the Gemara regarding the principle called Makor Mekomotame, which is, has a nice ring to it, which basically means that even though that it's these qualifying things that only it has to be a certain color of blood, it has to be with Hargasha, that render the woman a full nida, that she would become tame and not be allowed to have relations for 7 days on a derice level again. The question is whether this type of blood would that does not fulfill these criteria but comes from the uterus would nevertheless be tame. In other words, that it would render the woman tame for how many days? One. That'd be like a man having a seminal emission or something like that. That the woman would be tame on the day she had the emission. She could this blood. And she could go to the mikveh after she finished seeing that blood, and then she would be tahor, and then she could eat truma that evening. There would be no restrictions of 7 days. There would be no restrictions at all regarding the marital relationship. That would be, according to the one who says, makar makomo tameh, and another, of course, there's another opinion that says, makar makomo tahor, that it doesn't matter that the blood is uterine blood. If it does not fulfill these criteria, it's not tame at all. And we actually paskin makar makomo. Again, paskin doesn't, it doesn't matter really much nowadays because we're not dealing with tumah tahor. It's only relevant for tumah tahor, but we do paskin makar makomo tame. That's the general assumption that this type of blood would render the woman tame ritually impure, but again, not give anita status nowadays and would be irrelevant. Minchas Chinuch also points out that there's a very big difference between the time that a Nida goes to the mikvah and the time that another type of Tamei person goes to the mikvah. And ordinarily, everybody goes to the mikvah during the daytime for the simple reason that you want to go to the mikvah as early as possible when your Tumah finishes, when you stop touching the Sheretz, or when you finish having your seminal emission or whatever. Because when nighttime comes, you want to be fully, fully Tahar. You want to have Harev Shemesh. You want to be able to eat Truma, etc. The one, two types of people that that's impossible for are the Nida and the Yoledes. That since the Torah says, Shivas Yomim Tiya Benidasa, she should be in her Tumah for a full 7 days. So therefore, she may not go to the mikvah before the full conclusion of the 7 days of Tumah. Again, we're all talking the Halachos Deraisa. I have to keep drilling that in, lest somebody get the wrong impression. That although the first day, of course, when the woman first starts her period, it could be only a half day of Tumah, because let's say she sees her period at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so that day counts as day number one, but then she has to have, since the Shivas Yomim Tiyeh Benidasa, so that days that are the continuation don't get any time off. In other words, that day, what she started is considered to be one day, even if she didn't actually become Tumah at the beginning of the day. But the 6 days following don't have any leniencies. Therefore, she has to wait till the end of the 7 days fully, till Tzeis HaKochavim, till it's actually fully halachically nighttime, in order to go to the mikvah. And then, of course, after that time, she can go to the mikvah, again, on a Doraisa level, at any point. She can go on day number, during the day on day number eight. She just has to finish the 7 days of Tumah before she goes to the mikvah. Again, when we get I'm in good company with a Sefer Chinuch over here that he always says, no, I'm not going to discuss this at length right now. I'm going to wait till we get to the Nida when in Acharei Mos. We talk about the actual stuff that's relevant nowadays. So we'll go into more detail over there about what time of day exactly a woman can go to the mikvah nowadays. But again, we're talking on a derice level. Mitzvah Kuf Pei Beis 182. Mitzvah Inyan Tumas Zova Shetmeya Umetama. The ritual impurity of a woman who has an abnormal flow as opposed to a nida, which is the regular menstrual flow. Lios hazava temeya umetama, that a woman who is a zava should be ritually impure and render others ritually impure. Shenemar v'isha ki azuv zov dama yamim rabim, that when a woman has a flow that lasts several days, And below es nidasa, the pasuk continues, not at the top time that she normally has her period, she's subject to special rules of zava. And we're going to get to in a minute exactly what the halachic categories and requirements are. Remez shorish hamitzvah kasak safti biyoledes. It's similar to what I wrote about yoledes. Kinyan harichuk mehen v'tumasan mipnei amachal sheben shemazekes harbe ben yadam v'chol sheken ashochev osan. That this is because it's something that is like an illness, it's abnormal, and it causes damage to those to come into contact with her. And certainly if we're just talking about coming into contact, so the most, as he said in Yoledes, the most intimate type of contact is, of course, relations, so therefore it's all the more damaging. Okay, we don't exactly understand what's going on over here. This stuff is not contagious. So we'll have to, when we write our new Shorshei HaMitzvah, when we write Sefer HaChinuch 21st Century Edition, we're going to have to think very hard about how to update this stuff.
What could be more harmful than Kareis?
Spiritually, yeah, but he says that the Shorish HaMitzvah is trying to present a more rationalistic explanation of it. You're right. Right, Kareis is bad also.
It's bad as you can get, you know?
But let's say you don't get Kareis. Let's say you do it by accident, mm-hmm. or you just touch her. So why is that so bad? And now you're not going to catch the Ziva. But again, it's considered to be damaging on some level. Lefki lefi rov kirvasu iman hahezek yoser. The closer you are to a zava, the worse it is. And the Minchas Chinuch brings over here that there's something that the Sefer HaChinuch left out from all these halachos, from the ritual impurity of Anida and Zava and Yoledes and all these things, which is that somebody who has relations, either hopefully by accident or even on purpose, with any of these types of women, is the pasuk says si nidasa alav. When it says that, when it talks about when sleeping with a regular nida, that her nida should be transferred to him. So when the man, again, not if you just touch, but when a man has relations with that type of woman who is not allowed to have relations with because of her bodily discharges, then he contracts the tumah on the same level as she has, which is a very interesting concept. So again, at the Raisa level, if he sleeps with a Nida, regular menstruating woman, so then he becomes Tomei for 7 days.
No.
So he doesn't have restrictions on his having relations per se. It's not in the exact same halachos are transferred over from the Nida, but he becomes ritually impure for a period of 7 days with the exact same halachos, no, more or less. That the first day counts as the first day, etc.
Well, men can be needed, right?
Well,
sort of.
Not right. But that's only because it's a tumas maga. So, for example, a man who slept with Anida and he went to the mikvah because of his tumas keri, he would still be allowed to, for example, go on harabais, because mm-hmm. he would not be considered a tumah yotzal of migufo, a tumah that emanates from your own body, but rather it would be considered only the type of tumah that you contract by touching something that's tumah. But it does have a very similar halachos. The same thing, if you sleep with a woman who has just given birth to a baby girl, and she has not yet gone to the mikvah, then the man would become tumah for 2 weeks, for 14 days. The halachos get transferred over, which is a very interesting concept that, again, does not have relevance nowadays. But he would still become Tomei. So he can go to the mikvah before the 7 days, or 7 days are actually concluded. It will be more aligned along the lines of the halachos of Zava, which we're going to point out right now. Midine HaMitzvah, what are the halachos of Zava? Masha Amr Zichronim Livracha She Achadasar Yom Hein She Bein Nida Linida. Kilomer Sheisha Naseis Baim Zava Kachi Alacha Lamoshe Misina. We have a received tradition that goes back all the way back to Har Sinai, which is that the number of days in which a woman can become a Zava are 11. That's the two most important numbers to keep in mind when we talk about Hilchos Nida, at least on a Daraisa level, are 7 and 11. Not to be confused with the chain of convenience stores. But the 7 and 11 is that the woman, again, when she starts her period, she is a Nida for 7 days, and at the conclusion of those 7 days, she now has 11 days in which she can become a Zava, where if her flow either continues or restarts during those 11 days immediately after the 7 days that are allotted for Nida, then she becomes a zava, because that's considered to be an abnormal type of flow. She's not supposed to be flowing during those 11 days. And then, after those 11 days are over, then she restarts the cycle of 7. So if once those 11 days are over, again, we're presenting the majority view right now, we'll see in a few minutes that the Rambam holds a different view, that if she sees her period, so if she finishes those 11 days and she didn't see any abnormal flow, so she's in the clear. So then the next time she does bleed, she will now begin the 7 again, and she will become a Nida, and not a Zava. So again, it goes 7 days of allotted to Nida, then 11 days allotted to potential Ziva, and then you're free. There are no other days right now that as soon as you start your period again, you start having any type of menstrual flow, you will now begin a Nida again. So they don't have to be consecutive. So it goes 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Ziva, and then nothing. It's whatever, it's flexible. It's whatever comes next will now become Nida. It doesn't go consecutive 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11. That is the majority view. Uferish Adover Kahu. Shekol Isha Beisha Tira Dam, that when a woman starts seeing blood, Vitchilas Riyasa Tikare Nida, that when she first sees blood, she will be called a Nida, regular menstruating woman, and this can start, as I believe we mentioned already, on the day a baby girl is born. That should she see some sort of menstrual flow, uterine flow, which can happen sometimes due to the hormonal changes that come after birth. So this baby girl, one day old, will be considered to be a Nida, and she'll have 7 days allotted to Nida, and then 11 days following that, this baby girl could become a Zava, which again would be extremely rare, but in theory it could happen. Vinyan ha-nidos kach dino. These are the halachos of menstruation. She'im tire yom echadam. O afilu shivas yamim retzuvim kolzman shetifso kadam biyom ashrimi bod yom toveles la'erev. That it's not exactly the right place here because we're talking about Ziva, but what's the Torah halacha of Nida, that when a woman starts to see blood, she has 7 days again, like I said, allotted to her for Nida. So it doesn't matter how many of those days, sort of like vacation time, you use it or lose it. You know, either you see blood, even if you only see blood for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever, you still have the 7 days allotted to Nida, and you're considered to be Tamei absolutely for those 7 days, whether you see blood or not. So, in other words, you have even if you only see blood for 3 days, you have 4 remaining days of Nida, whether you like it or not. And so, again, like, you might as well continue to bleed. It doesn't help you medically maybe not, but I'm saying it doesn't help you halachically to stop bleeding earlier. That's why it's interesting, because nowadays, in current Tilchos Nida, there's a lot more stress on the woman to stop bleeding earlier. Again, you can't only have so much control, very little control. But in other words, in the olden days of Nida, so you were allotted 7 days. You didn't have to stress out. Most women probably stopped bleeding before the end of the conclusion of the 7 days. So then you make your examination towards the end of the 7th day. You found that even if you thought you stopped bleeding on day 3 or 4, it doesn't matter. You had a couple days to relax, make sure you really stop bleeding, wind down a little bit. You make your examination after you've been blood free already for a couple of days. Make your examination at the end of the 7th day. Of course, it's probably going to be clean, and therefore you can go to the mikvah right away at the conclusion of the 7th days. But nowadays, that we've added on the Shiva Nikiyim, the 7 clean days for all women, there's a lot more stress to try to get a clean hefsek tara, an examination that marks the conclusion of the actual bleeding process earlier, because the earlier you actually stop bleeding, the earlier you can go to the mikvah. So that adds an added level of pressure, which again did not exist in the times that we had Nida observed according to the Doraisa level, where there was very little pressure because the woman could stop bleeding earlier or stop bleeding later. It did not make any difference in terms of her halachic status. So whether she bleeds for 1 day or for 7 days, it doesn't matter. She can go to the mikvah as long as the blood stops before the 7th day ends halachically. If it starts to go into the 8th day, then that's already a shaila of becoming a zava, as we're going to discuss in a few seconds. So as long as it stops before the end of the 7th day, so you can go to the mikvah immediately on conclusion of the 7th day, and you're good. Dahainu halayla shemacharasa yom shmini litchilas riyasa. So you go to the mikvah on the night of the 8th day, which is after the conclusion of the 7th day, of course, because in halacha, days go from night to night. V'achar tvilasa tehora labaila. Then after, of course, she comes, she goes to the mikvah, she is now allowed to engage in relations, and she'll end her period of ritual impurity. V'achar shivas yemeha nidos. And after the 7 days of regular nidos menstruation conclude, im tire dam besocha chadasar yom achar shiva, if she sees more blood in the 11 days, right after the conclusion of the 7, yikore oso hadam dam ziva, that any blood that the woman sees within the 11 days following the 7 is called ziva, abnormal flow. The dinokane. This is the halacha of those that blood. She'im tire mimenu yom echad. So let's say any time during those 11 days she sees she's blood flow for only one day. Bein she'tira betchilas halayla o besof hayom. Whether she sees it right after, you know, just her luck, right after she goes to the mikvah from her nida period, she thought she stopped bleeding, and then as soon as she comes home from the mikvah, she discovers more blood. Or whether it's, let's say, in the morning or the afternoon, or she's flowing for one whole day during these 11 days, doesn't matter. And she thinks she stops bleeding, the bleeding was contained to one day. Mishameris yom echad kenegdo v'toveles utahora labayla la'erev. She has to keep one clean day. So any bleeding during the 11 days requires one clean day after it. And I would add that even if she saw blood on the 11th day, so that's the end of the Ziva period, the clean day doesn't need to be within the 11 days of Ziva. So for example, like I said, she saw blood on the 11th day, so the next day was clean, so then she's allowed, that counts as her one clean day, and she's fine, even though that day, that clean day, was not within the 11th day period allotted to Ziva. So at this point, so she keeps one clean day. Utvilasa afilu bayom mishetanei tzachama. Vezosi zavaktana. So the woman, a woman who's subject to this rule of a zavaktana, a little zava, again, who only has to keep one clean day because she only saw blood for one day, then she may even, basically, she stops bleeding. She's bled for one day. She stops bleeding before the conclusion of the halachi day. Then she, the next morning, she makes her examination, and she goes to the mikvah. She could even go to the mikvah in the morning. She does not have to go to the mikvah at the conclusion of the clean day. However, the day has to be clean. You understand? So let's say if she's going to the mikvah in the morning, and she sees blood in the afternoon, so that's no good. That undoes the mikvah attendance that she did in the morning. But she doesn't have to wait till the end of the day. I mean, she might want to. It might be more convenient just to make sure that she didn't. She's not going to have to go to the mikvah twice. But in theory, she is allowed to go to the mikvah even in the morning after sunrise. Again, we have a principle in halacha that while the halacha that night doesn't work, she's not allowed to go to the mikvah at night. It has to be specifically during the day to invoke the principle of miktsas hayom kechulo. We have a principle many times in halacha that part of the day is like the whole day. So the night doesn't work, but she has to, like, people don't get up from Shiva at night, where we also invoke the principle of Miktas Hayom Kechulo, the last day of Shiva, you're allowed to even keep part of the day. You have to keep it during the actual daytime and not at night. So we have a principle, so why does it say here that she has to go to the mikvah specifically after sunrise? We know that the halachic day begins at Alos HaShachar, dawn, which is an earlier time than sunrise. But the Mishnah Megillah tells us that any time that there's something that can theoretically be done from Alos HaShachar, has to lechatchila, ideally you have to wait till sunrise in order not to get confused, because Alos HaShachar, dawn, it's a little bit hard to tell. It's a very unclear sign. If the sky is getting a little light, maybe it's just starlight and you're confusing with the first light of the sun, you're not exactly sure, so you have to wait until sunrise. Again, whether it's exactly what we call sunrise nowadays or not is a totally different discussion, but approximately what we call sunrise nowadays, you have to wait in order to go to the mikvah. But again, if she did go to the mikvah from Alos HaShachar, from dawn, it would presumably be good b'dieved in accordance with this principle of the Mishnah in Megillah, but lechatchila, she would have to wait till sunrise in order to go to the mikvah. And she would not be, again, she would not be allowed to have relations with her husband during that day, even though she went to the mikvah already, because there'd be a concern that she would undo her clean day by seeing a blood flow later in the day after she went to the mikvah. Although, b'dieved, if they did have relations after she went to the mikvah and she didn't see any more blood flow that day, then she would be okay. Then they would not be subject to the issue of kares or anything like that. Although some people point out that you have a kasha because, as we said before, that a woman having semen come out of her body can undo a clean day. One clean day. In other words, it doesn't, let's say if a woman has to count 7 clean days, which we get to in a second, and she has a seminal emission during that time, so she undoes one day of the clean days. Not all 7 clean days, but she has to count a new clean day. So again, once she's having relations on during her clean day that she's supposed to keep over here, so maybe the semen that's going to come out is going to undo that clean day, and then it will automatically invalidate the mikvah going. So people say that that's probably not true. A, there are some people who say that, like I pointed out before, that the semen undoing the clean day is only a problem for taros and not for the relationship with her husband. But otherwise, people say, no, once you go to the mikvah, this doesn't apply, even though normally it does apply. So Zavaktana, this Frechen is telling us over here, the mini Zava who only has to keep one clean day is if she sees for 1 or 2 days. So 2 days also works. So she keeps, again, she sees the blood flow for 2 days during this 11-day period. She only has to keep one clean day, and then she's tahor and she's allowed to be with her husband, etc., etc., etc. That's a mini Zava. The big Zava is the one we're more familiar with, as it has more relevance nowadays. Vimtira dam, this is all part of the received tradition, Allah Moshe Misinai. Vimtira dam, besoch achadasar yomelu, shlosha yomim ritzufim, tikore zava gedola, utzricha leishev shiva yomim nikiem, vachar kach toveles utahore labaila. That if the woman sees blood for 3 days, because the pasuk says isha ki azuv zov dama yomim rabim, many days. So what does many days mean? So yomim would be if it just said days. So what's the minimum number of days where the plural is relevant?
Two.
So since it says yomim rabim, it adds an extra word over here, many days. So the answer is that it means 3 days. So if a woman sees 3 days during for her ziva period, that's when she has to count shiva yomim nikiyim, 7 clean days. And again, the 3 days do have to be consecutive. Let's say she could become, she could see blood in theory every other day during her ziva period. So she sees blood one day, then she has the second day being she's a zavaktana, a mini zava, she sees, then she has a clean day, she goes to the mikvah, she's fine, then the next day she sees blood again, etc. Could go for like this, she could be a zavaktana, 5 times during the 11 days of Ziva. She only becomes a Zava Gedola, a big Zava, if she sees blood for 3 consecutive days. And this is why, when she sees blood for 3 consecutive days, then she has to, count 7 clean days. Again, ideally, we pointed out before, performing an examination on each day, but b'dieved, perhaps it would be good if she, I mean, it would definitely be good if she only did an examination b'dieved on days 1 and 7. According to some opinions, either days 1 or 7 also works. That might be the majority opinion, but we certainly, if at all possible, try to accommodate the opinion where you need 1 and 7. So why am I telling you this? Who cares what you're telling me? This is all for taros. We didn't discuss the practical relevance nowadays, so we'll try to do that in a few minutes. That after the 11 days that we're discussing now that are open to the possibility of Ziva, so let's say she sees blood one day on the 11th day, and then she sees blood on the 12th day. So the 12th day is no longer a part of the Nida, the Zava period is now going to be starting the Nida period, and so you would just need to keep one clean day at the end of her Nida period, and that would work for the Zava, the one day of Ziva that she saw at the beginning, and that would be okay. She wouldn't, again, even though she certainly saw consecutive blood flow for more than 3 days, since she was starting the Nida period right away, or because she saw blood again for days 10, 11, and 12, that wouldn't be a Zava Gedola, because that would be already on the days number 12, she's restarting Nida. So she only have to keep one clean day at the end of the Nida period. V'chein ya'adavar la'olam. This is how it works for this woman's entire life. She'achar ha'nidus yesh la'achadas or yom shebahen nasei zava. When a woman has her period, so the kids after the 7 days are allotted to Nida, she has 11 days allotted to Ziva. After these 11 days are concluded, she cannot become a Zava unless she has her period again. So, for example, let's say a woman has her period, she's in Nida for 7 days, then you have the 11 days of Ziva. Then she doesn't have her period again for a month. So she doesn't have her period again for a month. So the days between the 11 days following her last period and the days she started her new period are nothing. She starts now again 7 days, and then it's only, again, according to the way the Chinuch's presenting it now, which is indeed the majority opinion, Ziva is only possible. These 11 days are only possible when they follow a time when a woman was a Nida, had the halacha of Nida, and she was Tomei for 7 days. The reason that he has to drill this in so hard is because, he's telling you right now, there were other people who made a mistake regarding this, which is very strong language. He's talking about the sheet of the Rambam. The opinion of the Rambam is that it doesn't work the way I just told you. That once a woman sees blood for the first time in her life, she has 7 days of nidus, 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11 for the rest of her life. And there's no downtime, like I said, like that that the time between the 11 days of Ziva and the next Nida period are nothing. They're just nothing, and then you just restart the count when you have your next period. But rather, they're consecutive. So it's a cycle of 18 days that repeats itself. 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11, all consecutive. So according to this, of course, a woman could become a Ziva without having Nida intervening. So let's say she had her period and she became a Nida for 7 days. Then during the 11 days following that, she became a Zava and she became Tahor again. Then after the conclusion of those 11 days, so she starts 7 days for Nida right away, allotted to Nida, she might not get her period during that time. It's extremely possible. Most women don't get their period every 18 days. So she, those 7 days, they were allotted to Nida, but she happened not to see blood, so she was Tahor during those 7 days. Then now she sees blood during the 11 days following those seven, where she did not become a Nida because she didn't see a blood flow. So now during those 11 days, she will become a Zava, according to the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, it's possible for a woman to become a Zava twice without an actual Tumas Nida intervening. Whereas according to the majority opinion, that would be impossible, because in the woman we were just talking about, she would have had her period and she would come in either for 7 days. Then the 11 days she became a Zava. Then by definition, the next time she saw blood, she would simply become a Nida again. It doesn't matter. There's no specific time in which the blood flow falls in which she could be either become a Nida or a Zava.
I mean, that doesn't seem to work very well.
The Rambam's opinion. Yeah. The Rambam's opinion has a very big downside and a plus side as well. Not in terms of that it makes our lives wonderful, but that it makes something easier to understand. And I'll explain as follows. According to the major downside of the Rambam's opinion is that at any given time when a woman has a blood flow, she could either be a Nida or a Zava, depending on... She has to look at her calendar depending on whether it falls during the 7 days or the 11. 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11, forever. And this gives a woman a standard cycle, basically, of 36 days. That according to this, in order for a woman never to become a Zava and just to have the halacha of Nida based on the experiencing of her regular menstrual cycle, she would need to have a cycle of 36 days, which is a little bit longer than the average menstrual cycle, though it's not unheard of. There are women who do have a cycle of 36
days. But it's at the very end of the bell curve.
I don't know. Anyway, so it's possible to have a cycle of 36 days, but it's very problematic because normally we assume that zava is something weird. It's unusual that for a woman actually to become a zava. We normally assume that for a woman's, when a woman has her regular period, she becomes a nida, whenever that happens to be. And it's only, again, like the chinuch said, during the, it's only considered abnormal if she had extra bleeding within 11 days after she concluded her regular menstrual cycle. It's not considered, again, but according to the Rambam, anytime a woman has her period, she has to know whether she's in the 7 days or the 11 days, and if she happens to be within the 11 days, she's going to become a zava, not a nida, even though she's just experiencing her completely regular period, which is very hard to swallow, and this, which is why the Rambam is pretty much a singular opinion over here. All the Rishonim say that we don't know what you're talking about. This does not make any sense. The Ramban especially attacks the Rambam very strongly. Basically, all the Rishonim disagree with this. This makes no sense.
Wait, now how does he come to that position?
How does the Rambam come to that position? That's the way he learns the Gemaras. That's the way he said, because it sounds to him like when it says 7-11, 7-11, it means consecutive. There is a revision, a school of maybe revisionism that thinks that the Rambam has been misinterpreted, and really the Rambam agrees with everyone else also. If you read what he says in the Mishnah Torah very slowly and very carefully, you'll see that it's not necessarily, again, even in the times of Rishonim, they were clearly interpreting the Rambam this way, but this is what some people say, that the Rambam really meant in accordance with everybody else. This cannot be that the Rambam really held that. And if you read it very carefully, it's possible that he held the other way. I personally have tried to do it many times, tried to read the Rambam, and it seems very difficult to read the Rambam in that manner. I have to look at maybe there's somebody who's presented it in a very formal, try to present it in a more understandable way. But to me, it seems very difficult. Again, I would like to believe that. Sure, it's that'd be wonderful, but the question is whether he really held that way. If he held that way, we don't. Again, nowadays it's irrelevant for reasons we'll explain, but it's very difficult to understand. We'd like to assume that when a woman has her regular period, she will always become a nida and not a zava. But the one advantage of the Rambam's opinion is that it does somewhat lend more sensibility to the fact that we nowadays treat all women as zavos, because according to the Rambam, basically, a woman always needed to keep a calendar of 7-11, 7-11 when she first gets her period, when she's, again, it could be when she's 1 day old, it could be when she's 12, whenever it happens to be. And she would have to keep a calendar starting from that time for the rest of her life, until the Rambam says, until she gives birth, then the count restarts. Because the give birth is a separate type of nida period. After, in other words, she would give birth, and she would conclude her period of impurity after the birth, and then the first time she saw blood after that would restart the count of 7-11, 7-11, etc. So according to this, as we know nowadays, we treat all women as if they might be zavos, and they have to count shiva nikiyim after they have their even after they have their regular period. So according to Rambam, like, it makes sense, because it's very easy for women to get confused. If she has to keep a calendar and she has to pinpoint the exact right day, when I'm getting my period now, is it during the days of Nida or is it during the days of Ziva? So that's extremely confusing. It makes it makes life much easier, in some ways, not for the husbands maybe, but for the wives. It makes the lives much easier if she just simply considers herself a Zava across the board and she has to count 7 clean days no matter what. That way she doesn't have to keep track of is she in the days of Nida or Yemei are the days of Ziva. So it makes, again, it's still possible to get confused according to the other opinion, but according to the Rambam, it does make more sense why the Jewish women decided to accept this practice on themselves to keep Shiva Nikiyim 7 clean days after having any type of menstrual flow. The Gemara says, by the way, there were stages in terms of this Gzera. That originally it says what's called Hiskin Rebbe Basados, or Shvedis, the different Girsos, whether it was in the fields or in a certain place that was called Shvedis or something like that. Anyway, but first, of course, they kept the Din D'Oraisa, that when a woman is Nida, she's only Tamei for 7 days total, and when she has to keep the laws of Ziva separately, she could either become a mini Zava or a big Zava, depending on how many days she saw the flow during the 11 days subsequent to her period. So it says Rebbe made Gzera, that if a woman saw a flow for one day. Basically, the Rebbe's gzeira was a woman has to consider herself as if she might be a nida or she might be a zava. So how does that mean? If a woman sees a blood flow for only one day, either she's a nida and she has to keep seven days, or she's a zava, ktana, a mini zava, and she has to keep one clean day. So therefore, if she sees a blood flow for one day, and she counts 6 days afterwards without a blood flow, then mimanavshach, whether she's a nida, she's okay, or whether she's a zava, she's okay, because she counted one clean day already. Obviously, she counted six, that's more than one, she counted, so she'd be okay. And if she sees a blood flow for 2 days, then she has to keep 2 days, and then 6 days. So she has to be tamei for a total of 8 days, because if she's a nida, because her nidus could be starting on the second day, maybe the first day she saw blood that was of a different nature, her nidus could be starting on the second day, and she has to keep 7 days total due to that, but she maybe she's a zava, so she keeps one clean day, so obviously those 6 days include one clean day within them. So basically, and it's only if she sees a blood flow for 3 days that she would have to keep seven clean days. Even if 3 days were her regular period, and in theory, on a deraisa level, she would only have to keep 4 more days and not seven clean days, then if she still, she might be a zava. We don't keep count as to whether the days she's seeing her blood in are nida days or zava days, so she's going to keep 7 clean days after she sees any 3 days of a blood flow. So that pretty much covers all the bases, right? Whether she's if she sees days blood for 1 or 2 days, she has to keep 6 clean days, and if she sees blood for 3 days, she has to keep 7 clean days after that, 3 or more days. That seemed to take care of the problems, but then the Jewish women decided that even this was too confusing for them, and Benos Yisrael hechmiru al atzmam, that the Jewish women accepted the stringency that even if they saw the tiniest drop of blood, they would still keep the 7 clean days. And Poskim struggled to understand exactly why that should be the case. If she didn't see the blood flow for 3 days, why should she have to? What's the point? In other words, what's going on over here? They say, well, maybe she was seeing blood that she thought was clean, but it was a good color, a tahor color is really a tummy color. She could get confused in terms of the colors of blood, so it doesn't make sense still, even if she saw blood for fewer than 3 days, to keep the 7 clean days. So basically, that was the progression, historical progression of Hilchos Nida. That basically, we treat all women who have, again, originally it was only when they saw blood for 3 days, which again, most women do see blood for 3 days when they have their periods, at least. So you have to keep 7 clean days anyway. It doesn't really help most women nowadays. But anyway, we have now Paskin that if a woman sees even the tiniest amount of blood, she has to keep 7 clean days, as if she were a Zava Gedola, even though that doesn't technically, necessarily, at first glance, make sense, because it's only if a woman sees blood for 3 days that she could ever need to count 7 clean days. So, Herachti Ba'inyan Lomar She'eino Kein. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that the Rambam's opinion is incorrect, that it keeps going 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, forever, a consecutive cycle. Ela le'olam ein yemei ziva, ela echadasar yom, achar shiva shel nidus. The 11 days of ziva are only possible after a woman has actually become tomei due to nida for 7 days. Ve'lo achar kach le'olam ashetachzor le'tchilas nidus. And this 11 days won't restart unless she has another period of becoming a nida. Ritzoni lomar shim tamod velotira achar yud alaf yom afilu shana. So let's say she's malnourished. A lot of times when a woman is subject to malnutrition, so she has amenorrhea and she will not be getting her period. So let's say she has 7 days of period of nidos, then she has her 11 days allotted to ziva, and then she doesn't get her period again for a year. Well, because then she didn't have enough food, then all of a sudden she gets enough food. So she got her period again after a year. So according to the Rambam, she would have had to keep track, 7-11, 7-11, during that entire year, and when she sees blood now after a year, she has to figure out whether she's falling in a time of 7 days or 11 days. According to the Chinuch, and according to, the vast majority opinion of the Rishonim, now she's now starting, no matter what, she's starting her 7 days of Nidus again, and not it could not possibly be the 11 days of Ziva. Again, the 11 days won't restart until 7 days of Nida have passed. The Yeser Prateha b'Maseches Zavim. The rest of the details are Maseches Zavim of Maseches Nida Gamken Ktsas Midinei Ziva. So it's all discussed a little bit in Maseches Nida as well, because the halachos of Nida and Zava are very much interconnected, especially nowadays that we treat every woman with the stringency as if she might be a Nida or she might be a Zava Gedola. And again, the Zava Gedola generally includes all the stringencies of Nida, but there are certain stringencies which are subject that to which a Nida is subject to, including that she should not go to the mikvah until nighttime. We pointed out that nowadays, well, if a woman goes to the has to count clean days, whether it's one or seven. So on the final clean day, so she's allowed to go to the mikvah after sunrise. She does not have to wait until nighttime. But nowadays, since it's not purely a zava, that a woman is tamei due to nida as well, so since a real nida would have to go to the mikvah at nighttime, so nowadays women go to the mikvah at nighttime as well to avoid any potential confusion. It's called srach bita, that maybe the woman's daughter will get confused, that if her mother is going to the mikvah during the daytime, and she might think that any nida is allowed to go to the mikvah during the daytime, even a nida d'araisa. So that's why a woman nowadays does not go to the mikvah during the daytime in general.
I thought there was all this concern about not letting people know when you're going to the mikvah and all this stuff about
right. A woman's
grocery shopping or whatever it is.
A woman's generally not supposed to. It's considered more tzniyastik for a woman not to advertise when she's going to the mikvah. But certainly in the olden days when people lived in much closer quarters, you know, probably why it was emphasized so much is because it was hard.
Because
people were, you know, you had lived in a little village and people knew each other's business to a certain extent. And certainly within one family, you know, a mother and daughter, especially maybe the mother's trying to instruct the daughter in the halachos or something like that, so sometimes this is going to have to be somewhat compromised. So it is... some assumption is that a lot of times the daughter will know exactly when her mother is going to the mikvah. Also, there are situations where it's not possible to adhere to the tznias completely. You know, a lot of times there'll be a very embarrassing time that a woman needs to go to the mikvah. For example, let's say Seder night. So if she's by her parents, for example, for Seder night, so she's probably going to want to tell her mother, probably the person who's closest with, if she's at her parents for a Seder, maybe her mother-in-law, if they have that kind of relationship, although it's more likely with her mother, says, you know, I need to go to the mikveh tonight, please come up with an excuse for me so that when people come home from shul, they're not like, where's Freddy? You know, whatever, what's going on over here? It shouldn't be...
You think at a certain point people would figure out that they need, the fewer questions they ask, the better it is.
But people don't think about it necessarily all the time. People are going to figure it out. The idea is that women should try as much as possible to try to be as tzniyastik in terms of her mikvah night as possible.
Need a ride to the
dam. Yeah. Okay. That's also. Yeah. You should not delay the in general unless there's an extremely embarrassing situation where the husband and wife both agree that they prefer to delay the mikvah night. Well, probably they won't. But more try to have a woman go to the mikvah on time, that even if the tznias is going to be somewhat compromised, you're going to have to tell someone, you're going to have to ask for a ride, something like that. So then should try to do it in as tznias-thick as possible a manner. That's all. So for that reason, we don't go to the mikvah at, women don't go to the mikvah at, during the day nowadays, but if there's an emergency situation, so then she can go to the mikvah on the eighth day, because after the conclusion of her... it's way after the conclusion of her seven clean days, so even if she goes to the mikvah now, she'll be allowed to have relations with her husband now, which would not be the case if she went to the mikvah on the seventh day during the day, that she would still not be allowed to have relations with her husband until the nighttime, because she might see more blood and undo the count of seven clean days. So therefore, again, if a woman goes to the mikvah now on the seventh day of her seven clean days, is she tahor or not? Yes, she's tahor because... if she's a Nida, so the it's way more than 7 days since the start of her period, which would be a Nida Daraisa. And if she's a Zava, so she's allowed to go to the mikvah after sunrise on the seventh day. So if for some reason or another a woman went to the mikvah after sunrise on her seventh clean day, even nowadays, the immersion would be valid. She would not have to go to the mikvah again. But, and it's to do this lichatchila, we only permit in extremely emergency situations, such as, let's say, there's a couple that lives that's having difficulty getting pregnant, and they want to go on. And they say the mikveh night is scheduled for a Friday night, and they live very far from the mikveh, so she won't be able to go to the mikveh that night. So then she will be, or there's a 3-day yontif or something where she won't be able to go to the mikveh on time. So then she would be allowed to go to the mikveh on the 7th day in order to not to lose the window where she could get pregnant. And although we get generally try to go to the mikveh on the 7th day, we generally really, 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 really try to minimize. If a woman really needs to go to the mikveh during the day, it could be on the 8th day.
And then the
mikveh
lady knows her business.
What do you mean? That?
No, if you can get the mikveh lady to open the thing up during the day, then she's knowing your business.
She doesn't know why. Could be you. I don't know. This is between the rabbi and the mikveh lady. I said it's okay for this lady to go to the mikveh on during the day. You should not be asking questions after that point.
There are mikveh ladies in the
Okay, well, she shouldn't be. Whatever, whether she does or not is not not under my control. But again, if there's it depends on how on the 8th day, so it's not as bad because if she does go to the mikveh, she would be allowed. Sure, 7 clean days would be completely over, and she would be allowed to have relations in theory immediately. And that at the time where a woman would be going to the mikveh on the 7th clean day, then she should really not be seeing her husband. What it says, that she really should not be seeing her husband until nightfall, because that's when she knows that her clean day was completed successfully, and they would now be allowed to have relations. So when these emergency types of heterim are given, then the woman should generally, the husband should be out of the house, she should not be coming home. Again, preferably she shouldn't come home until the end of that day. But if possible, they should just not, you know, again, it depends. The more you give more kulas, depending on how much of an emergency situation it is. Like, for example, if she goes to mikveh on Friday afternoon, then she should not, if it's on the 7th clean day, then she should not, her husband should leave for shul, for example, before she comes home, right, at the very least, or something of that nature. Again, we did not, under normal circumstances, a woman does not ever go to the mikveh on the 7th clean day, and preferably not even on the 8th day either. It would be better to wait until the 8th night, because we always try to have the women go to the mikveh during the nighttime. And different communities and different rabbis have slightly different standards and different policies about opening the mikveh to women during the daytime. Mitzvah Kuf Pei Gimel. 183 mitzvahs korban zava shekishet tisrape mizova. The mitzvah of the sacrifice of a zava when she finishes her ziva period. Shetakriv hazava korban kishet tisrape mizova. That once a woman finishes her ziva period and goes to the mikveh, then she should bring a korban. V'hu shtei torim o shnei b'nei yona shenemar. That it's two turtle doves or two doves, as it's pigeons, whatever, shenemar. On the 8th day, when she finishes her 7 clean days, then she should bring her sacrifice, and then she can eat the sacrificial meat after she brings the sacrifice. So again, because you need the musar, because there's something wrong happened over here, you need to give thanks to God, and you need to atone for whatever improper behaviors or actions of health, whatever, caused the ziva to take place. This, by the way, he doesn't say explicitly over here, but you only have to bring a korban for a zava gedola. That if you have if you have 3 days of flow and 7 clean days, then you have to bring a korban as a mini zava who only has to count 1 clean day, does not have to bring a korban. Shorish hamitzvah zok tzas pratea ke'en, sorry, v'chasav ramam zichron al bracha, ki mipnei ke'enech nachshav l'shtei mitzvah l'shtei korbanos elu shel zava shel zava. That you could ask a question on me that I'm counting as two different mitzvahs, the korban that a zav has to bring and the korban that a zava, a female zav, has to bring. Afa b'shein korban echon mamesh, it's the exact same korban that they have to bring. I mean, the animals, the birds that they have to bring are exactly the same. Ma shelo asinu ke'en b'shar korbanos harbei. That we didn't do this in the rest of the korbanos. Okay? That if a korban is identical, it counts as one mitzvah. That everybody who performed an aveira that has kares has to bring a chatos, and the chatos is the same. We don't say that someone who violated Shabbos has to bring a chatos, and somebody who had relations with the nida has to bring a chatos, etc., etc., etc. Somebody who ate on a chametz on Pesach has to bring a chatos. It's the same. Anybody who committed an avera that is kares has to bring a chatos. It's one mitzvah. It doesn't count as so many different mitzvos.
Okay.
So why should the korban of azov and azov count as different mitzvahs since they're identical? It should be any person who experiences an unusual flow should bring these two birds. Kol zman she korban echad avishu tumasan she elu ena shavek klal. He said that it's unlike the other types of examples that we just gave, the whole mahus, the whole intrinsic nature of azov and azova are completely different. It's not a general rule. Anybody who violates an avera who has kares has to bring a chatas. It doesn't make sense even to say anybody who has an unusual flow has to bring this type of korban of the two birds. Sheish mitame beloven vaish mitama beodem. That it's not even the same type of unusual flow. A woman's unusual flow is red. A man's unusual flow is white. If a man has a red flow or a woman has a white flow, they're tahor. It's completely the opposite. Now, Zov and Azova, they share the same name, and they share the fact that it's an unusual emission, and they share the fact of the 7 clean days, but the Tumah is absolutely choluk. It's completely different, and therefore, the Korban counts as two different mitzvos. Uvehevech lo yitame lo zeh velo zeh, vechevan shem chalukim kol kach roelim nosan lishtei mitzvos. Since they're totally separate entities, count them as two mitzvos. Vein dome inyan zeklal inyan mitzoreh o mitzoras. So you say, ha, if you count the man and woman separately, then you should count the Korban of a female mitzora and a male mitzora separately. Shunechshav l'mitzvachas, but I counted them as one mitzvah. Any person who's becoming cleansed from tzaras has to bring a korban. Shatzaras davar shaveh v'kulan. He said, that makes no sense. I just told you that zav and zav are completely different types of tumah. Their experiences are totally different. Whereas a mitzora is exactly the same. You have a white patch on your skin that applies both to a man and to a woman. Behavi Rayak Tsas, Lidvar of Mashamar Bekristos. The Rambam brings a little bit of a proof from Maseches Kristos. Arba Mechusre Kapara Ve'eluhen. There are four types of people who are lacking Kapara, who cannot eat Korbanos until they bring their own personal sacrifice. And they can't go into the Beis Mikdash, etc. Behain Hazov, Vahazova, Vahayoledes, Vahmetzora. They're the Zov and the Zova, and the woman who's given birth, and someone who has had Tsaras. Harishachastu Zov, Zova, Bishnayim. It's a good proof. The four different types of mechusrei kapara are a zav and a zava and a yoledes and a mitzora. So it doesn't count mitzora. It doesn't say mitzora mitzoras. It's just mitzora with counts for both men and women. And shechashu zav and zava bishnayim, zav and zava are separate. The fisha chalukin becholyan because they're separate from their within their illnesses. Mitzoras and mitzora keechad nateisha choli lisha choli shav bishnayim. Mitzoras is the same for both men and women. You could just say that if it just counted three, it just said Hazov veha Yoledes Vametzora, you would have just thought that Zava was not included. Because Zava is never included under Zav, but because it's for this reason. But as Mitzoras is included under Mitzora. Okay, it's a little proof. Okay. It says Ktsas Raya. That's why it says it's Raya Ktsas. It's not in a totally ironclad, but it is a somewhat of a proof. This is in the times of the Beis Mikdash. A woman who does not bring her korban at the conclusion of her 7 clean days after her ziva, bitla seize, she neglected to perform this positive commandment. And not only did she violate the positive commandment, but she is penalized that she cannot eat korbanos or go to the Beis Mikdash until she brings it. And that is the conclusion of Parshas Mitzora, next week.
We shall see.
Yeah, we should.
We will continue with Parshas Acharei Mos.